We just thank you right now for the super abundance, Lord. The way that you're pouring yourself out on your people. Lord, we thank you for that overflow. Lord, we thank you for where you're moving the church. We know your word says the world's going to wax worse and worse, but the church is going to get more glorious and more glorious and more glorious as we see that day of the Lord coming. The super abundance word. God, over these past 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, has seen your surrender, and he's seen you bow down, and he's seen you crying out to him, and he's seen you getting hit from the left and from the right, and from the front, from the back. He's seen the enemy come and attack you, but he wants you to know that there is an increase for you. There is an overflow for you. There is a superabundance for you, that everything the enemy has tried to destroy you with this year is going to actually turn out for your good. The power that the enemy came at you with is literally going to be turned around against him. We've heard this word about the enemy fighting itself and coming against itself, and I had this daydream the other day, I'll call it, of a supervisory demon, and he had these demonic forces underneath him. And they were coming to try to attack the church. They were coming to try to attack the body. And it was this body specifically. And they would come and they would try to distract. And they would try to blame. And they would try to put guilt. And they would try to put condemnation. And they would attack from the front and the back, left and the right. And within this daydream, I saw them going back to this hierarchy, the bigger devil, so to speak. And they would come back to him and they said, "This isn't working. They're still praying. They're still worshiping. They're still bowed down. They're still surrendering. What do you want us to do?" And he would say, "Go back." He'd say, "Go back." And they would try to come back. They try to come back. But they could not get a foothold. They could not get a grip. They could not. Because this is a house full of surrendered, bowed down, committed, serious about our walk type of people. And the Holy Spirit has sealed you in. I want you to know this today. You heard this word come forth and it said, "Do not fear." And God means it. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed in. And if you're standing from the outside today and you're looking in and you're saying, I don't think I know him. Today, receive Christ. Receive Jesus in your heart. It comes by revelation. You have a moment in your life where you have this, "I need a Savior." And this Savior, Jesus, has his arms wide open and he says, "I'll come into you and I'll have supper with you and I will dine with you." And you'll find out as you walk through this earth and you get attacked that there is a table set where? In the presence of your enemies. And within that table, there is an overflow of grace. There is an overflow of mercy. There is an overflow. There is a cup that overflows because he is the God of super abundance. I'm telling you, the resources coming to the church as these days move forward are going to be absolutely mind-blowing. I remember Leon Forte came here one time, prophet of God, and he prophesied over this church. And he said, "There is going to come a day where you walk into a plaza, a parking lot, and you buy the plaza." Listen, what God is pouring out, this is not for us to raise some kind of flag and say, "Hey, look at abundant life." Everything that God pours forth from himself is to advance his kingdom. It's for the advancement of his kingdom. When he pours out financial resources to you, it's not so we can consume it in excess. It's so that we can pour it back into the kingdom. God is doing mind-blowing things in Kelly. In our lives. And I sat there and I tried to figure out a word that could sum it up. And I couldn't come up with a word. I came up with awesome, and I came up with great, and I came up with all this stuff, and it just wasn't enough. And I just started to search my heart about what the word was, and the word is super abundance. It's not just enough. It's not even just overflow. It's super overflow. It's above and beyond what you could ever ask or think. Whatever you can think of right now, it's bigger. whatever you can think of in your mind of how great God is and where the church is headed, it's so much bigger. He is going to have our heads spinning as he already has. The gifts conference that was here, you couldn't imagine what was going to happen, and that you couldn't have sat down and wrote a script that said this is what's going to happen during that conference. We're going to see more and more of the Spirit of God absolutely taking over. You know why? Because as his body, we said, Holy Spirit, take reign. We don't care what it looks like. We don't care what it sounds like. We're going to speak the truth. And we say, Spirit of God, have your reign and move through us and in us. The word superabundance, and listen to me. I was praying for Kelly, and I was out in our yard, and I said, God, give her a blessing so big it's embarrassing, that she is absolutely embarrassed by the blessing. And I looked up superabundance. This is what superabundance means: embarrassing excess. Listen, this is excess overflowing from God's people to reach a lost and dying world, people that are hungry for Jesus and don't even know it yet. It takes resources. And God's going to keep pouring it forth. And he has found this house honorable and worthy to receive the blessing. Do you hear me? If I know something right now, that he has looked down on this house and he has said, you are a house of integrity. You are a house of honesty. You are a house that is honorable in my sight. Because you've taken steps after steps after steps, and you've decided to leave yourself behind and come after me. Obedience is the pathway to blessing. Not for just us, but to be poured forth to people, other people. Obedience is the pathway. It opens the door for his excess, his embarrassing excess, extravagance. The Bible uses these words, the riches of his grace, the extravagance of his love. You can't even think how high and how deep and how wide and is his love. His love, embarrassing excess, extravagance, a plethora, more than is needed, more than is enough. And in Genesis 17, God comes to, and we just say, I was trying to take a picture of this, of the slides, of the songs, but there was one that talked about the blessing of Abraham, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, Abraham meets God. In Genesis 17, 1 through 8, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. He came to Abram at this point. He said, I am the God of more than enough. I am the God of excess. I am the God of overflow. And he reveals himself to Abram as that God. He appears to me. I am Almighty God. It's El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty God. He says, walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you. And listen to these words now. Listen to these words. I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face. I'm telling you that you are going to have more and more Abram moments where God is going to speak something into your heart and you're going to say, there's no way. And he's going to put you on the ground and you're going to lay on your face and you're going to say, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. It's more than enough. It's too big. But he says, I am the God of more than enough. I am the God of too big. We walked out on our porch last night and looked up at the stars in the sky, and they were just everywhere. I don't know how many of y'all saw that last night, but they were everywhere. And I was talking to Eli. I said, every one of those is a fiery flame. Look at the billions and billions of stars. That's excess. And then I'm thinking, is there not enough ocean water? Is there not enough sand in the sea? Are there not enough trees? Are there not enough blades of grass? Is there not enough soil? Is there overflow, overflow, overflow? He is the God of overflow. He is the God of too much. And I believe he just tries to convince us day in and day out that I am El Shaddai. Do not fear. Fear not. fear is such a detriment. Fear is such a stumbling block. Fear is one of those things that causes us to turn. And there's a reason why he said today, do not fear. Do not fear. He would have to tell his prophets. He had to tell Jeremiah. He had to tell Isaac. He had to tell Isaiah. He had to tell Daniel. He had to tell them all. He said, I'm going to send you in front of a people that might not want to hear what you have to say. Their faces will be against you, but do not fear. I am with you. I am with you. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a few nations. Many. Many. Do you know the Bible talks about the church inheriting the nations? If it's in your brain and you're saying that's too much, you're right. For our pea brains, it is. But for him, it is like the snapping of a finger. Suddenly. The church thinks we're the world thinks we're cowards. Man. Many nations, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. He went from the father's exalted, which was Abram, and he went to Abraham. The breath of God. Ha, ha, Abram, here, ha, here's my breath. And he became the father of many nations in a breath. The breath of God. All he has to do is blow on you one time. No wonder he took the disciples aside and he said, whew. He blew on them. And then you know what happened in the upper room when the breath manifested. I love it when God does show and tell. You know, Micho's up here and this is like a pinnacle of his life, really, in a way. And he uses an example. He just says, see what I can do? See what I can do? Year after year, wondering, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? Then all of a sudden, this door opens wide, and it just happens. There's so many times, and I had this prophetic word over my life about leaving my previous job, and it was Cheryl Hearn, and she came up to me and said, you know what, this brick wall that you think is stopping you from leaving your job, it's really just a curtain. It's a thin curtain. You think it's this 2-foot brick wall that you're never going to get through. And she said, it's just a curtain. It's just going to go, shh. And it happened like that. All of a sudden, what I thought was a brick wall and no way out, he just took a curtain and just went, shh, there you go. How about it? Maybe there's brick walls in here for you. Maybe you've been beating your head against the wall, against the wall, against the wall, against the wall, and against the wall. And maybe it's just a thin curtain that God's just going to take and go, and fling wide open. The mountains melt like wax in the presence of God. These huge mountains, these huge things that we think are just too big to get over, too big to get around, too much. And he just comes up to the mountain and says, melt, melt, melt. Abraham, for I will make you a father of many nations. I will make you just a little bit fruitful, exceedingly fruitful. You have to listen to the verbiage through here. Exceedingly fruitful. So much fruit that your basket can't contain the fruit. I will make many nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Yeah, there was a king that came from Abraham. His name was Jesus. When he's prophesying and saying, there's a bunch of kings. Yeah, were there some kings? But guess what? The King of Kings came down that lineage. And guess what? When you come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, you receive the blessings of Abraham. Everything that Abraham had is yours. You say, how do I receive it? By revelation. How do you come out of fear? You have the revelation that he's the one that said, do not fear. And for me, his sacrifice was rich enough and big enough to receive peace. What? was it rich enough? And was it big enough for us to be able to walk every day in peace? Well, I have this going on. I have that going on. That doesn't matter. Kelly and I this week have been attacked and attacked and attacked. And I'm just like, enemy, have you not learned your lesson? That when you attack the people of God, they multiply. The blessing multiplies. If we would just take that, if we would just take that and understand that these trials and these tribulations and these things that come at us are only to build the kingdom. All he knows is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he knows. And he will keep hammering and keep hammering and keep hammering and keep hammering. And he has not learned his lesson that as he keeps hammering and keeps hammering and keeps hammering, we keep growing and we keep growing and we keep growing. Exceedingly fruitful. And kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants. Descendants. You all are the descendants of Abraham. When he switched and he said, guess what? The Gentiles, it's time for the Gentiles to come in. You are one of those. You're one of them. Father Abraham. Yeah, when we were little and we wondered why we were all singing that song. God's like, guess what? You don't even know what you're singing. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, and you in their generations. Generations. I've been getting this thing lately that that God is in the process through his spirit and through his angelic host of attacking iniquity. He's so tired of it. He's so tired of alcoholism, skipping from the great-great-grandfather to the great-grandfather to the father to the son. Anxiety, going from the great-great-great-grandmother to the great-great-grandmother to the great-grandmother to the grandmother to the daughter. He's tired of it. He's coming after families. There is a push in this culture to destroy the traditional family, to destroy it. Listen, God's got a line that he draws. And it just says, it talks about that idea that the oceans can only go so far. And listen, this idea can only go so far. And I believe in this country, and this world, people are starting to wake up to this. They are starting to wake up to this. And they're starting to wake up. Even people that aren't in the kingdom are going, this just is not right. The idea of going all the way down at 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds. And trying to brainwash them into this idea so that the way they grow up, there's not a father and there's not a mother in the household. It's a lie. Exceedingly fruitful. After you and their generations. See, I received this and I say, generations and generations and generations be blessed. For an everlasting covenant, not 3 months, not a year, not an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And I'm telling you that the land of Canaan was a type of heaven. He says, you want to know what part of your inheritance is? When you take your last breath here on earth, if that actually happens, and we don't get caught up, that you enter into euphoric bliss where there's no crying, there's no rejection, there's no temptation, there's no pain, there's no agony, there's no depression, there's no anxiety, there's none of that. But my thing is, I want a taste of that age to come, and I want to see it here. I want to see it multiplied here before it actually happens in its totality. I want to see bodies healed here before we actually leave. See, it's a testimony to the world when someone can't see and all of a sudden they can see. And it is an overflow. It is a super abundance of God's love that heals. It's not some kind of magic formula. Literally, when someone can't see and they can see again, it's because love has exploded on the inside of them. And now they can see. It's love. It's all love. It's love. It's love. The world has watered down love. I love this and I love that and I love him and I love her and blah, blah, blah. Love, 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 love. Love is a powerful, it is the most powerful thing in the universe and always will be. It's love. Love is the thing that turns bad situations into good situations. It is the thing that turns a crippled body into a body that is healed. The land of Canaan. So God in various points in Scripture reveals himself to his people with different names. We just talked about El Shaddai. He comes in Genesis 22:14 and he reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. Then he comes in Exodus 25:26 and he shows himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. Listen, God just takes this book and he starts turning these pages and he says, I'm El Shaddai, I'm Jehovah Rapha, and he starts to reveal and unveil this to his people because they don't know it. And he starts to show them. In Exodus 17:15, he is known as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. You wonder why people are down swinging banners down here? Because he is our banner, and it is just an outstretch of my soul to him. In Judges 6:24, he shows himself as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Psalms 23:1, Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. Jeremiah 23:6, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He starts unveiling these things. Ezekiel 48:35, he unveils himself as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. You know, because people, you know, the big man upstairs, no, he's here, 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 here. And then the New Testament, Jesus comes on the scene. He's the Son of the living God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, beginning and the end, first and the last, Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty, God, and the list goes on and on. So Jesus comes as the fulfillment of every name. Every name that you read through the Old Testament, he comes as the fulfillment of it. He's the one that says, I am your peace. Me. That's what he says. All I know is that he has moved on the inside of this temple. And when he says, I am peace, if I've got the Savior living by the Spirit of God inside of this temple, I have access to peace. I don't have to go and look for it anywhere. I don't have to go find it anywhere. That's freeing. You know, he says... when you're going after the kingdom of God, don't run to and fro and here and there. Because why? Everything that the kingdom has within itself is on the inside of you. Why? Because the Spirit of God has moved in. Is the Spirit of God lacking something? The teacher, the Holy Spirit, has come on the inside of us. And he is teaching us more and more every day about who we are in this Jesus. You've been born for such a time as this. And I know that's, we say that, but you've been born for such a time as this. And these revelations that are coming to us and to individuals and to us as a congregation are they're extremely important for what's going to be happening in the days to come. We have to know that he's our peace. We have to hear words that say, do not fear. Because sometimes we forget. And we find ourselves fearing. We find ourselves sometimes waking up in the middle of the night, afraid, fearful. Or wake up in the morning, fearful. And we have to remind this brain, this mind, that he is my peace. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Jesus. If Jesus is in the boat sleeping when the waves are crashing all around him, listen, Jesus had a mind and he sat there asleep and he woke up and he rebukes the waves and the wind, he says, waves be still, and he turns around to the disciples and he said, why are you doubting this? Why are you doubting this? The brain that was in Jesus, by his spirit, is now up here. You ever think about that? And God unveiling and unlocking what's within the mind of Christ. Selah. There's lots of stuff we can be thinking about. He's like, think on these things. It's amazing how even today God continues to unveil himself to us. For me lately, it's been El Shaddai, Almighty God, the God of superabundance. Ephesians 3:14. It gets better and better. It really does. I have 7 pages of notes and I'm on a page and a quarter. Why? Because he's too much. When you step out and you are obedient, you will never lack in resources. You will never come up short. You will never come up empty. He said, I have never seen my righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Do you know in this church we've never begged for anything? Do you know that God has just responded to faithfulness and just keeps dumping out and unloading and unloading? Do you realize, I think at this time next year, this church is going, we're going to be out of debt? I mean, think about the resources, the door that flies open when that happens. Listen, I'm believing, with this world with superabundance, I'm believing as that moment comes closer and closer and closer and closer, the Spirit of God is going to start unlocking doors for you. And when that door actually flings wide open and we come out of debt, it's time to celebrate. I don't know exactly what's going to happen from that point to when that happens or even after that happens, but I know there are some doors that are going to be opened. That's good stuff. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according, this is my prayer for you, and this is something we need to take, that he would grant to you according to what? The riches of his glory. The riches of his glory. It's not just the glory, it's the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, interesting, being rooted and grounded in love, that's our line, abundant life, rooted and grounded in love, may be able, listen, he wants us to comprehend it. Come on. He wants us to understand it. He said, I want to talk to you, and I want to reveal to you through my word what exactly this means. I want you to comprehend what it means to have peace. I want you to comprehend what it means to be attacked and be thriving. He wants us to comprehend it with all the saints. Come on. Not just me. He wants us to comprehend it as a group. A handful of disciples, the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. God's not interested in 5,000 immature believers. He is interested in a group of people that are growing up into him in the full stature of Christ, because it doesn't take a whole lot of people for him to move through and change stuff. It just takes a bunch of people that have no fear and they keep stepping out and stepping out and stepping out and doing and saying what he tells them to do. Maybe be able to comprehend it. With all the saints, here we go. What is the width? What is the length? What is the depth? And what is the height? To know the love of Christ. Listen, if I know he loves me truly, I have the right to peace. We have to think on this. And I can say this, if I'm in fear constantly, I got a love problem. I know that's hard to hear. But if I find myself in those places, I have a love problem. I have not yet understood the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of his love for me. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And when I read that, I was thinking, you know, no wonder I couldn't come up with a word to try to describe what's going on in my life right now. Some of this stuff passes knowledge. It's hard to put into words sometimes. It's hard to put into words. Passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. All the fullness. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all. And when I saw that, I immediately thought, I wonder what that says in the Amplified Version. That we may ask or think according to the power that works in us. Come on. According to the power that works in us. Where does it hinge? According to the power that works in us. The revelation that is being unhinged on the inside of me. Because it comes by revelation, it comes by unveiling, it comes by revealing. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. In the Amplified, I just read in the New King James Version 20 and 21. That's exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So listen to this. If it's not been enough so far. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly. I'm like, there's no way that's even a word. So I looked it up. There's a word called super abundantly. And there's also a word called super abundance. And when I heard that and saw that, I was like, ding, 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 ding. That was the word I was looking for. And I'm not kidding. Nothing would fit. These words are coming down to me. Nothing would fit. Didn't fit, but that fit. It fit perfectly. To do super abundantly, more than all that we can, dare to ask. Come on. Now listen, I have had this thing in me, this dream big. I keep seeing it over and over. These two words, dream big, dream big, dream big, dream big. And I had a message on it a long, long time ago, but it has resurfaced. And God's like, don't forget. Don't forget. All that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. Again, think of your greatest hope and think of your greatest dream, and it is far above that. I know sometimes it's hard to sit here and listen to this stuff and go, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on. Listen, we are living stones. We are living stones. We are active stones. My thing is, I want it, and I want more of it. Because I know there's going to be more people set free. I know inside my heart I'm going to be more set free. I feel like God's just saying, it's time to get excited. If you're not excited, if you lost your excitement, it's time to get that flame going again. Light it up. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and amen. And I looked up the word superabundance, embarrassing excess, extravagance, a plethora, more than what is needed, more than enough. It's interesting because, you know, Paul comes out and he says, I know what it's like to be in want, and I know what it's like to live in overflow. He had this inside him that he has in his life, he had experienced greatness. And he had experienced loss. He had experienced times of productivity, so to speak, and times where things maybe weren't so unproductive. And at the end, you know what he said? He said, I have learned to be content in all things. And I know there's an ebb and flow to these things, but at this point, in this season, with the body of Christ, God is saying, get ready for superabundance. He is the fountain of living water. Lastly, we're wrapping up. John 10. This scripture never meant as much to me as it did when I studied it. John 10, 7 through 10 says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are a bunch of thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. If anybody enters by me, he will be saved. And I'm telling you, within that word saved, within that word salvation, there's 100 different things that are tied up in the word. Peace, prosperity, abundance, joy, mercy, grace are all tied up in this thing called salvation, this thing called being saved. And listen to what it says. They will go in and out and they're going to find pasture. Kelly and I go on a walk almost every day. It's like this 2.5 mile walk. And at halfway at this walk, there's a bridge and there's a bunch of cows out in the pasture. You know what? None of them have ever come up to the fence and gone, listen, I'm really freaked out right now. You know what they do? They're all hanging out in the pasture, chewing their cud. And you know what? their response to us is, that's it. The thief does not come to except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life. He doesn't stop there, that they may have life more abundant. He doesn't even say abundantly. He says that they may have life more abundantly. We're ending here. You know what more abundantly means? Here we go. Exceeding some number or measure or rank or need, over and above, more than is necessary, super added. I love the Hebrew and the Greek language because it is so explicative. It's so colorful. It explains so much more than our English. Super added, exceedingly abundantly, supremely, something further, more. I love this one. Much more than all. More plainly, superior, extraordinary, surpassing. I love this one. Uncommon. Come on. Uncommon. Something that is uncommon. I want people to leave this house and leave when we're in front of people and speaking to people, to leave and go, that wasn't common. That was something, there was something different about there. That was not common. That was not normal. It was abnormal. It was abnormal. Our eyes have seen such things today, you know. Uncommon, preeminent, superiority, advantage. More eminent, more remarkable, more excellent. Y'all can stand. And after reading that, you know, you look at the Psalm 23, which is a very familiar scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk, come on now. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and some of you in the last 10 months have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff are they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And I pictured all of us getting up every morning and literally putting our feet on the floor and sitting up in our beds and going, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't care what circumstances look like. I'm going to say it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Lord, we thank you right now, and prayer people can come down. We thank you for this overabundance, this above and beyond, superabundance. Lord, we thank you that even now we're living in the overflow, living in the overflow, living in a place of overflow. And if you're not here today, if you feel like your cup is half full, I pray overflow for you. I pray a revelation would come that he is the God. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. That he is the God of overflow. He is the God of more than enough. He is the God of superabundance. And we thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, for your sacrifice that has literally caused all of these things to happen for us. That he is worthy. He is worthy. And it says, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Holy, 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 holy. And we just reverence you right now in the house, God. We just reverence you, your presence, and we thank you for who you are in us and in the days ahead, what you're going to do in this house and in your people. We seal this in the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.